We're going to pick up where Josh left off last week. And we're plugging through the book of Mark. We're going to have over 50 messages on the book of Mark. So it's a great series. And if you missed Josh's message last week, then just go find it. You know, find it online. Find it on our app. And we record them all. We put them all online. And so I just want to share with you what Josh, how we ended up last week. Here's a slide that I appreciated from him last week. He talked about the fact that many questions were asked of Jesus, right? And typically, who was asking the questions? Religious guys that were trying to trap him, trick him, get him to say something he shouldn't say. And he was asked a lot of questions. And Josh covered the last question in Mark chapter 12. And somebody asked Jesus, what is the most important command? And remember, Josh covered that last week. And Jesus answered brilliantly. And what did he say? Love God, the Lord your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That was what Josh taught us. That's what Jesus answered. And I love the fact that after Jesus answered that so brilliantly, that it says that no one dared ask Jesus another question. I just love that. He just shut them down. And because they realized, wow, that's a good answer. We're not going to catch this guy. So for the rest of the book of Mark, Jesus doesn't get asked any more questions. But he turns the table at this point, and in the section we're going to cover, he does the question asking. And he asks a really, really intriguing question, a really important question. And he quotes an Old Testament verse that you're going to find, you may just read over this section, you're going to find this is fascinating. Why did he ask that question? And when he asks the question of the religious leaders, it confuses them, it confounds them, and it shuts their mouths. They don't know how to answer. They can't answer and they don't answer. But everybody around is listening to Jesus, all the people. It says they are delighted in the answer, in the question that Jesus asks. So that's what we're going to look at. So I love this quote from Dr. Voss regarding all these questions that Jesus was asked. He says this, all the religious leaders' efforts to bring Jesus into disrepute with political authorities, to compromise his orthodoxy, or to entangle him in inconsistencies or ill-advised statements of his own position come to naught. They're unable to trap him, which leads us to his question. And it is an important question. In the question that Jesus asks these guys, that they're not able to answer, and in the verse that he shares from the Old Testament, really, Jesus is sharing with us a very, very important attribute about himself. And what is that? It's simply this. I am the Lord. That's what he's trying to communicate with this question. They don't get it. And even when you read it, it's a little confusing, and you might not get it. But this is exactly what he's trying to get across. Guys, I'm not just the Messiah. I'm not just a guy in David's line. I am the Lord. I am God in the flesh. I am the Messiah. I am the Lord of all. And of course, they don't get it. But that's the importance of why he asked the question, and we're going to see that today. So how are we going to break it down? We're going to break it down like this. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen. He is Lord. We're going to ask the question, well, what does that mean? And why does that matter? Practically, who cares? Well, it does matter. And there is an important meaning that we're going to get out of this question. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to help us, help the Lord of the universe speak to our hearts right now. God, Lord Jesus, you are the Lord. And we come to you humbly right now, and we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would teach us what you want us to learn. Open our eyes to the scriptures. We need your help. And we thank you that you are able and willing, and you are excited to be able to teach us today. We invite you to do that. We humble ourselves. We submit ourselves to your lordship, to your kingship. You're God. We're not. And because you're God, you can speak to our hearts. And we invite you to do that. Give me grace tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is Lord. What does it mean? Why does it matter? Let's look at what does it mean. It means two things. I'm going to give you two propositions on what does it mean. There's lots of things that it means, but I just want to cover two tonight as we get into the text. The first thing it means is that Jesus is God. It means Jesus is the Messiah. It means Jesus is the anointed one, the one that was spoken about in the Old Testament that everyone was waiting for. That Jesus is Lord. That's what it means to be, I am the Lord. I'm that guy, the guy that's spoken of here. That's what it means. He is God. So let's pick it up in verse 35 of chapter 12 of Mark. It says this, while Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, how is it that the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David? So he asked a question here. But by the way, this is not the hard question. This is an easy question. Because everybody in that audience, including the religious leaders, and I just love the picture here of the religious leaders standing off the side of Jesus, and Jesus almost going, hey guys, I'm talking to you, but why do those guys say that the Messiah, the Christ, is the son of David? Why do they say that? And all of them are thinking, because the Bible says so. They all knew that. And in fact, that they were teaching what's correct. Everyone knew at that time that the Messiah was going to come from the line of David. There's no doubt about it. And the New Testament clearly represents that. Just look at what it says in the New Testament. Matthew 1, the genealogy of Jesus. It says, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of who? The son of David, a son of Abraham. And then the angel said to Mary about Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, Joseph? Of David, his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. This angel is talking about Jesus sitting on the throne of David and having a kingdom that will never end. That is God. That's what God does. Only God sits on the throne forever and ever and ever. He's claiming to be God. And these guys agree with that. Remember blind Bartimaeus a few months ago? I taught on that. Blind Bartimaeus sitting on the road to Jerusalem right outside of Jericho. Jesus walks by and he starts screaming. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Everyone knew that the Messiah would come from the line of David. And I'm going to show you a chart again because they're always good. Here's a good chart. This is from Luke. This is the genealogy from Luke. And you can see that Jesus' genealogy goes all the way back through David up to Adam and God. Jesus, therefore, qualifies to be the Messiah because he has fulfilled the prophecy that the Messiah had to come through the line of David, and Jesus certainly does that. So let's get to the question that's difficult to answer, okay? Jesus continues. He says this, David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Now, I used to just read by that until I realized, wait a minute, Jesus is asking a question that a bunch of guys, the religious leaders, couldn't or wouldn't answer. Do I know the answer to this question? He's going to ask it. You got to understand, first of all, it is confusing. So David is speaking by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. This is not just David's thoughts. Clearly, he's speaking to David, the Holy Spirit. This is Psalm 110, by the way. This is what David is quoting, or what Jesus is quoting, David saying. David's saying, listen, I had a vision somehow. I saw the Lord, the Father, speaking to the Son and telling the Son, listen, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for you, which just simply means that's a way to show complete and utter victory over another person or nation. The kings would come and put the other king down and put their foot right on their neck. And David somehow was privy to this conversation between the Father, the Lord Father, and the Lord Son. Come sit at my right hand, Jesus, and I'm going to put your enemies under your foot. So what's cool here about this passage is that we have another glimpse of the Trinity right here. David got to see the Trinity. He knew the Holy Spirit was speaking, and he heard the Father speak to the Son. So the Holy Spirit, Father, and Son are all in this psalm. This is an important psalm, Psalm 110. And this is what Jesus is quoting. So it's a little confusing. You got to understand that the Lord Yahweh is the Hebrew word for God of Moses, God of Abraham, the God of the universe. That's what it means. So Yahweh speaking to the Messiah, Jesus. Okay? Would it be okay if I told a quick joke? Is it too soon? Coronavirus and riots and stuff? I think it's okay. Just lighten the mood. You can use this, okay? It's a quick joke. Okay, so Jesus gathers his disciples together, and he's talking to them. He says, hey, guys, I just want you to know, I am God in the flesh. I'm the real deal. I am God in the flesh. And Peter stands up and says, no way. And Jesus looks at him and says, Yahweh. A little levity for the evening. Thank you. I knew my wife laughed out loud yesterday when I told her so. I knew she'd like it. So this is what's confusing to people. But here's a little trivia for you. What do you think is the most quoted Old Testament verse that's quoted in the New Testament? Which verse is quoted or alluded to more often than any other verse? It's this verse, Psalm 110. Can you believe that? Over 20 times in the New Testament, people either quote it directly, like we have right here, or allude to it very specifically. 20 times this psalm is referred to. This is an important psalm. David heard the Father speaking to the Son. And so Jesus is now going to ask the question that traps them about this verse. He's going to. This is a messianic verse. This is definitely talking about Messiah. And that was not disputed. Even in Jesus' day, Psalm 110 was talking about the Messiah. So Jesus quotes it to them, and then he says this. He looks at the crowd and says, David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son? And the large crowd listened to him with delight, while his enemies were silenced. They couldn't answer, and they didn't answer. So that's the question. So I'm asking you, David calls him Lord, how then can he be his son? Jesus is asking this question. He understands the answer. And I think he probably has a little smile on his lips. Because for them, it's confusing. And what it reminds me of, and we'll answer the question for you, don't worry. But what it reminds me of every time I read it, it reminds me of Bilbo Baggins on his 111th birthday. And he says this. He tells the crowd, I like half of you half as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve. And then it pans to the audience, and the audience is going. And then it shows Gandalf, and he's got this little smile on his lips, because he understands. And I just think Jesus probably had a little smile on his lips when he asked that question, because he knows it's confusing. How can David's Lord be his relative? How could he be a relative? How could he be in his genealogy? How could he be his son? How could David's Lord that he worships be his son at the same time? That's the question. And guess what? There is no answer apart from the God-man. Right? That's the only answer. Is Jesus is God, but he's also a son. So here's the quick answer, and you can write this in your Bible. I have it everywhere Psalm 110 is quoted. Here's the answer to the question. David calls him Lord. How can he be his son? Here's how. As man, Jesus is David's son. As God, Jesus is David's Lord. That's how he can be Lord of heaven and earth and also be David's, one of his offspring. And that's exactly what Jesus wanted them to understand. In other words, he didn't want them to think that, hey, I am just some offspring of David, just in the line of David. The Messiah is also God in the flesh. And that is so important for us to understand that. In short, Jesus is telling them, I am the Lord of all. I am God. I am the CEO. I am the ruler of all. And he has a little grin on his face as a crowd is silent. And they can't answer him. Because if they did, they would understand at that point that the guy sitting right there talking to him is God. And they didn't get it. I don't even think the disciples got it at that point. But that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So we're looking at what does it mean, Jesus is Lord. Number one, it means Jesus is God. And number two, it means that Jesus is in control. Well, let me give you this quote first, because it's so good. It's from the NIV Study Bible. It says this, Jesus quoted Psalm 110 to show that the Messiah was more than a descendant of David. He was David's Lord. Jesus is God in the flesh. That's what he wanted to communicate. So it means that he's God. Number two, the second proposition of what does Jesus is Lord mean? Is that Jesus is in control. If he's Lord, he's in control. And this is so important for us. It's pertinent to what we're talking about here. And there's really three implications to this point, that Jesus is in control. I'll cover two here and one in the last point, because I want to cover the implication from the past, present, and the future. So we'll talk about the first two right now. Here's the implication for the past. If Jesus is in control, the implication is he created everything. You say, Jesus created? Yeah, Jesus created everything. Here's the verses right here in John 1:3. It says, through Jesus, all things were made. How many things?
All.
Oh, Jesus made all things. Did you know that? Jesus did. He made all things, and all means all, and that's all means. He made it all, everything, the universe, the stars, the planets, the trees, the bugs, the dirt, the core of the earth, the microbes, you and me, our kids, he made them all. Jesus created everything. And in Colossians 1:16, it couldn't get clearer. It says, for by Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Jesus is the creator. In the past, he created everything. That means everything belongs to him. He is Lord of all. It all belongs to him. We live in his world. We are not the masters of our own fate. We are not the creator God. We do not create our own world. We live and we do things within his world. And I was trying to figure out how to communicate that. And only one thing came to mind. It kept coming to mind. Minecraft. Okay? I love Minecraft. I love when my kids started getting old enough where the games they were playing were games they could beat me at. And it was fun to play it with them. And I love, as an engineer, I love Minecraft. So many ways to create. And I love digging underground and building these cool basements all, you know, paneled in gold and having water slides and inviting my kids to come in and see my area and then building something way up in the sky and having to fly up there and it's hidden in the clouds and nobody knows it's there because sometimes people come in and they destroy your place. They can do that. They'll come in and just wreck everything. So you got to hide stuff. Here's the deal. You can almost feel like this is, man, I am the Lord of this world, this Minecraft world. I am the best at this. And you might be really good at it, but guess what? You are not the Lord of it. Because everything you do has to be within the parameters of the Creator who decides what the code is going to be to allow you to do what you do. In fact, here is the creator of Minecraft. This guy's name is Marcus Persson, and he created Minecraft. So you think you're the Lord inside Minecraft? No, no, no. You are subject to all the rules and regulation and code that this guy decides. And if he wants to shut it down, he can shut it down. You are not the Lord of Minecraft. You have little circles of responsibility, responsible to and responsible for, inside of the earth. Right now in your life, you have your circles, you have your family and work, and you have your own life that you need to be responsible for, but ultimately it's not yours. You live in God's world, and so do I, which means he's in control. The government is not in control. COVID-19 is not in control. People who want to riot are not in control. Guess what? You are not in control. You don't ultimately have control. This idea of, you know, this is my body, I can do what I want with it, is not true. That's like saying Minecraft, I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. Not if that guy didn't code it and allow you to be there. In the same way in this life, you are not in control. Jesus created it. He's in control. So that's the past implication. Here's the present implication. Jesus is king today. If he is in control and he is the creator, he is the king. And he is the ruler. And he is the owner. And he is the CEO of everything. That's what it says in John 18. Therefore, Pilate said to Jesus, "So, you're a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king." Revelation 19, talking about Jesus, it says, "And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Jesus is in control, which means he's created everything and he is the king of everything. Therefore, he makes the rules. You don't make the rules. When you play games, by the way, you don't make the rules, do you? You have to abide by those rules. In Minecraft, you have to abide by the rules. Now, there's some cheat codes, but guess what? Even those cheat codes were designed by the Creator, not by you. They put those in there. You do not make the rules on this planet. That's where I press the wrong button and mute myself. See, in Minecraft and in our world, we do not make the rules. Jesus does, which means, by the way, we're subject to Him. And that's kind of important, isn't it? When it comes to Jesus being Lord, we are subject to Him. And you say, Bill, I don't know if I believe in Jesus. Or you say, I'm an atheist, or I'm an agnostic, I'm trying to figure this out, so this doesn't apply to me, this Jesus is Lord stuff doesn't apply to me. Well, it does. And you need to understand that. Jesus is either God or He's not. He's either Lord or He's not. And I happen to believe that He is, that He's God. You can say, I don't believe in the Creator of Minecraft. I don't believe that there's rules. I could do whatever. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe or not. You have to be constrained. You are constrained by the parameters that the Creator of that world says you have to be. In the same way, it's true of Jesus. He sets the rules, and we are subject to Him whether we like it or not. And one of my favorite characters in the movie, Braveheart, William Wallace, there's a scene I've never forgot, and I say it a lot. I say it differently than they say it in the movie, but it brings this point home, this idea of Lord, Jesus is Lord whether you like it or not, whether you believe in Him or not, whether you're an atheist or not, Jesus is still Lord. And in the scene, it's in 1305, King Edward I had captured William Wallace. He was, and an executioner was just getting ready to execute him. And they were kind of interviewing him, and they tell William Wallace, listen, if you will simply bow your knee to the king, your death will be a lot less painful. We're going to kill you, but it's going to be a lot less painful. If you just, in front of everybody here, just bow down to the king. And William Wallace says, I've never pledged allegiance to that man, and I never will. And then the guy said something that I've never forgot. Here's what he says. He says in an English rogue, it matters not. He is your king. And I thought, that's really true. It doesn't matter if William Wallace bowed down to him or pledged allegiance. He lived in the king's country. He was his king. Now, he was an unjust king. Praise God that we have a just, loving king. But it matters not whether you believe it or not. Jesus is your Lord. He is your king. An atheist out there says, I don't believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter. It matters not. He is your king. He's your king. And that's the truth of it. If he's Lord, that means he's the king of everything. This is his world. Doesn't matter if you don't believe it or not. It's still true. It's still true. So that means this. If that's true, then your money is not your own. Your time is not your own. Your family is not your own. Your kids, all your stuff, your body. I can do what I want with my body, can you? Not if you live in Jesus' kingdom, which you do. He has something to say about that. He has something to say about that. You are not ultimately the God of this body. Jesus says, no, that's my body. I created it. It's mine. Which means he rules. And he has thoughts on what you do and don't do. He has thoughts on what you post online. He has rules about that. He has rules about how you treat other people. He has thoughts on that. He has thoughts on how you define marriage and how you define gender. He doesn't give you the right to define that. He's already defined it right here. Because it's his planet. It's his universe. He created it. He's the king. He's the CEO. He makes the rules. It doesn't matter if you say, well, I don't like that. Well, it matters not. He is your king. But the good thing is he loves you more than you even know. He loves you more than life. He died for you. He cares about you. Everything he does is for your good. Everything he gives you, it says, is for your enjoyment. That's the king that we serve. We don't have some tyrant. We have a loving God. So, in other words, whatever we do that's outside the boundaries of Jesus' lordship, when we rebel, and when I rebel, you know what? It only hurts me. Because God set things up so that when I submit myself to His Lordship, things go well. Jesus is Lord. What does it mean? It means that He's God and that He's in control. But why does it matter? Why does it matter? Well, let me ask you this first. Who is the CEO of your life? Who calls the shots in your life? You or Jesus? Is it you or is it Jesus? Jesus is the Lord. You should submit to Him. So that's what it means. Let's go to why does it matter? Jesus is Lord. Practically, why does it matter in my life that Jesus is Lord of all? Well, that's a good question. There's two reasons I'll give you. First reason is this. It matters because it affects the way we live. And we'll see that demonstrated, illustrated in the last couple verses that we're going to cover tonight. In Jesus criticizing, talking about guys that haven't made Jesus Lord, the guys behind him, those religious leaders, he's going to describe their lives and the fruit of their lives as people who have not got it yet, that Jesus is God in the flesh, he is Lord of all, okay? So we'll pick it up in verse 38. Jesus, it says, as he taught, Jesus said, watch out for those teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and to be greeted in the marketplaces. So really what we're talking about here is a sin of vanity. These guys just want to be noticed and be propped up as something special. That's wrong and that's a sin. And that's not what Jesus wants for his world, especially for his religious leaders. Let's not be that way. That's really me first. And that's not what God has planned for us. As Lord of our lives, me first has no place in his world. All right? And then he says this, and they also like to have the most important seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. That's just pride. That's just arrogance. And again, we can fall into that. I can be prideful and I can be arrogant, but I understand that that's not what Jesus, my ruler, my king, wants for me. I understand that. So if I've got a humble heart and a contrite heart, my spirit will be checked. Or if somebody comes to me and says, hey, that was kind of prideful what you just said, my spirit will be contrite and I'll repent and turn away from that because I know my God, my King, my Lord Jesus says, that's not the way you should be, Bill. That's what he's saying here. These guys, don't be this way is what he's saying. I'm going to give you a couple of points on what we should be when we finish this, but let's go on. Jesus also says they devour widows' houses. And for a show, they make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. So they're greedy. They're stealing from people to enrich themselves. Needy people. They're taking advantage of people. Let's not be that way. Let's not be greedy. Not in God's world. Not as we submit to our King. They're also hypocrites, making lengthy prayers. Why? So people will see them and think, oh, you're so religious. As Christians, let's not be that way. Let's be honest about our sins and about our struggles. And let's also be honest about how much we love Jesus. Of course we worship Him. But let's not be hypocrites. That's putting on a false mask about who we are. In other words, it's not all about us. Not in God's world. If He's Lord, then it can't be about us. It's got to be about who? It's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about Jesus. So here's two things we can do. Actually, I just want to make this point real quick because I want to be honest and not a hypocrite because look at that guy's face. We can all be this way. We can all be hypocrites. In fact, if you look really close, I'm going to ask that question. If you look really close, even I can be a hypocrite. But I can't grow a cool beard like that. I know that's for sure. We can all be hypocrites. Let's go back to this question. If it'll go back. Yeah, what kind of fruit is your life producing? Jesus was just describing bad fruit that comes from not submitting to the Lordship of Christ. That's bad fruit. It produces selfishness, self-righteousness, and sinful people. And I can be that. If you look back over your life, what kind of fruit are you producing? Here's what we should do in response. Get past that picture. We should worship Jesus. There's two things real quick, and then we'll get to the last last reason why it matters. Here's what we can do. We should worship Jesus with our actions. Worship isn't just singing. Worship is giving a life submitted humbly to Christ, just laying it on the altar. And that's what it says in Romans 12. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. God wants us to worship Him with our lives, with our actions, not just with our voices, but to lay it all down on the line. That's how we worship God. And He is worthy of that. He is Lord. In response to that, we should worship Him with our lives as a sacrifice, a sacrificial offering to Him. And so many of you are doing that. And I want to do that more. And I was reminded, preparing this, of 31 years ago, of a time where I was about to propose to my wife, and I went to her parents to get their permission back in Des Moines, Iowa. And I sat with them, and they loved me, so I knew it was going to be fine. But I just wanted to be honoring to them and say, I'm thinking about asking your daughter to marry me. And they were thrilled, and they were, you know, it was just us in their living room. And I said to them, but I need to let you know something. Is that you know this, but I want to make it crystal clear that Jesus is my Lord. He's my King. And whatever He asked me to do, I'm going to do. Which may mean we may not be around you to see the grandkids raised. Because if Jesus asked me to move somewhere, I'm going to go. Whatever He asks, we're going to do it. I just want you to know that up front. And they were thrilled and said, of course you can. Yeah, we understand that. But they understand it now because they had to pay a price. They didn't see our grandkids grow up. Because we moved a week after we got married to Colorado for 10 years. And then we moved out here for 20 years. So our grandkids have been apart from grandparents their whole life. They see them once or twice a year at the most. That's what I'm talking about. That's a sacrifice that we offered on the altar. And we've talked about it so many times in tears. That this is what God's called us to. And this is a choice that we made. Because He's our King, we will do whatever He says. And it'll be a sacrifice. But that's what you do for your King. And He'll make up for it somehow. We trust Him for that, don't we? We worship Jesus with our lives. Here's something else we should do. We should serve Jesus and love Jesus. And I just want to make the point, that, and I know you know this, is that when we serve Jesus, really, there's one way we can do that. One big way we can do that. And that's by serving His people, loving His people. That's what Jesus said. Basically, whatever you do for the least of these, you're doing for Me. And whatever you're not doing for the least of these, you're not doing for Me. So how do we love and serve Jesus, the Lord? We do it by loving and serving His people. And if you want more on that, listen to Josh's message from last week, because he answered that question. Love God and love people. What does that look like? He does a really good job with that. All right? So Jesus is Lord. And we've talked about the fact that means that He's God and He's in control, and it matters because it affects the way we live. But not only that, the last point here, it not only affects the way we live here on earth, it affects how we spend eternity. Jesus is Lord. How we answer that question affects our eternity. Remember what Jesus said at the very last part of the verse that we read? He said, such men will be punished most severely. So this is the future implication. I talked about how Jesus has created, Jesus is the King, and now we're going to look at the future. Jesus will judge. He will judge. The evidence is clear. Look at these verses, John 5:22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. Who's going to judge the world? Jesus. There's tons of verses. Here's just another one. Acts 10, Peter speaking to a crowd. He says, Jesus ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one, speaking of Jesus, who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Who's going to judge the world? Jesus. How can He do that? Because He is the Creator. He is the Lord of all. He's the King of all. And He will judge everyone. He will judge everyone. That means He's going to hold us accountable for what we do, what we think, what we say. He will hold every human being accountable. And it says in Philippians that every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And what is interesting, what are they going to confess? The very thing we're talking about. Jesus Christ is Lord. Who's going to say that on Judgment Day? Everyone. But what about the atheists or the Muslims or the Jews or that don't believe in? They're all going to say it. It matters not. He is your king. You will say it. You'll bow your knee. Some will do it through gritted teeth. Others will do it out of adoration and love for their Savior. But everyone will say it because it's true. And He will judge them. And He will judge you and He will judge me. We need to obey His rules. He has our best in mind. When we don't obey Him, it only hurts us. When we don't do what He says, it only hurts us. Even in video games, I know in Minecraft, you'll get kicked out. I don't have any practical experience getting kicked out of Minecraft, but I know if you swear in your direct messages to people, they'll research you. They'll just kick you out. Utter darkness, gnashing of teeth. You can never play that game again. There are rules in Minecraft. There are rules in this universe. Jesus has made the rules, and we need to obey His rules, and we're going to be judged. And who's going to judge us? Jesus is going to judge us. Last question, that will be over. Have you confessed Jesus is Lord? Wow, this is a pretty powerful verse to end on. Romans 10, verse 9. Listen to it. It says that if you confess with your mouth, what? Jesus is Lord. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you'll be saved. What? That's a pretty important verse. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Men and women, have you confessed? Have you submitted your life to Christ as Lord? And every day we should be doing that freshly. It doesn't matter whether we do or not. He's still Lord, but it helps us position ourselves underneath the Lord to say, God, you're the Lord. Today, you're my King. I'm not the Lord. I'm not God. You are, and I will do whatever you say today. Freshly, my Lord, you give me marching orders. I'll do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you say. That's what we should do as Christians. Now, if you don't know Christ and you're watching on this cast, this video cast, then I just want to encourage you, you need to make this decision. You need to make Jesus your Lord, because someday you will kneel and bow and confess Him as Lord. Do it now before you die so you can have eternal life and be in heaven forever. That's what God wants for you. Amen. You can have that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much. And I thank You that over 40 years ago now, you revealed Yourself to me as the King, as the Lord, as the Savior who died for me. And I committed my life to You. And Lord, I haven't been perfect, and there's certainly a lot of failure, a lot of selfishness. I know that, even today. But I do know there have been times I've laid my life down and said, take it, Lord, I'll do whatever You want. And I want to have that more and more. And I pray for those that are here tonight and listening this weekend, that they know Christ, they would have that humble heart, they would believe that Jesus is Lord, they know what it means, and they know that it matters. And those that don't know You, Lord, I pray they would confess You as Lord, they would humble themselves, acknowledge that they've sinned, they've broken the rules, they've sinned against You, and they're going to be judged. Yet You tell us if they confess You as Lord, and they acknowledge their sin, and confess it, come to You humbly and say, Jesus, I need You. Forgive me of my sins. Thank You for dying for me. Then they can have eternal life, because You're a good God. You're a loving God. You're a kind God. That's why we sing about Your name all the time. And if that's you tonight, this weekend, as you're listening, you don't know for sure 100% you're going to heaven, then you need to contact us somehow. Talk to us. We want to help you. That's why we're here. Jesus is the Lord. Whether you like it or not, it matters not. He is your King. And you need to submit to Him because He has good plans for you. So tonight, Lord, we thank You for Your loving kindness. And we acknowledge that You are our Lord. You are the Lord, God in the flesh. We acknowledge it freely and say thank You for allowing us to be children in Your kingdom. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.